the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Behind the glass, it is The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. What's going on?
What are you talking about?
Your mic was on before we started, so I didn't press on, and then it was off.
Oh.
Were you getting handsy again?
Yeah, it's a problem that I have.
Uh-huh.
I get a bit handsy at
Pushing
times.
Button.
What'd you do yesterday since there was no sports on the the world?
I got to be honest with you. I caught up on sleep. I did not stay up for all the ESPYs. I was in and out of watching it.
Did not turn it on once.
Not once, huh?
Not one time.
Like, I was actually disappointed because it was awkward. I didn't know when it actually started. So by the time I turned it on, really what I wanted to hear was the monologue, because that's normally when it's the awkward, who's the athlete that's currently an athlete going to call out that's still an athlete, and you know, even in their same sport. I guess Manning was the one that went after Kevin Durant. But
yeah. and
those
Russ.
Are always the most fun, is to see who's going to, you know, the monologue, and then, like, presenters, if they're going to take pot shots a little bit. But there was really, when I turned it on, it was 7:45. I was like, oh, I already missed. And then, God bless Dick Vitale. But, I mean, he went on for an hour.
That's okay. You should give Dickie V a runway. He's been enough in sports you have nothing else going on.
If it's on ESPN,
hour.
I get it. Mm-hmm. But because it's on national TV, and they got really tough deadlines in terms of...
It was on ABC?
Out times on ABC, yeah, huh. for local news.
Didn't realize that.
Yeah, but... I mean, it seemed to be very drawn out, and I think that it's almost run its course, in my opinion.
Really? Are you calling for the ESPYs to be buried? To old Yeller the ESPYs? Take the ESPYs out back and put them out of their misery?
I don't think that I would lose a wink of sleep if you told me that either you just moved the ESPYs to internet only, or you just gave away
internet only?
Or gave away the awards like some people do from year to year when they say player of the year and do this and that. Let me know what you think. 713-780-3776. Let me know if I have lost my mind. I think they've run their course. I think that they're stale. I think that, you know, much like we gave Fox props for reinventing the wheel with all the way they've mic'd up everybody at the All-Star game to make it interesting.
Yeah.
I just don't think the ESPYs are that interesting anymore.
Maybe I shouldn't push back too hard because I literally did not turn it on. I went to a little wing spot near the house that I've been wanting to try. Yeah. Pretty good. We played a little bit of trivia. My wife carried us to a middle-of-the-pack finish.
Okay.
Although there was two of us, and like every other team had like six
Don't
to eight
make
people.
Excuses. You got thumped.
It's not an excuse. We finished middle-of-the-pack with two people when every other team had
half.
Six to eight people. What?
Two and a half.
I don't think the half was really helping out much.
You don't know.
No, I do.
Okay. I mean...
I do know. What about you, Brendan? Did you win your playoff game? Your Madden middle of the summer?
Snow? Wait, playoff game? I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You were playing
about.
A Madden playoff
your Madden
video
playoff
game.
Game that you were preparing summer. For.
Yeah, it was a hard-fought battle.
You won?
It was a hard-fought battle.
So, are you playing in the next round?
Well, wait, time out. See, okay, there you
no,
go.
I am not.
You're done. That's
so then you watch the ESPYs?
No.
So there's two out of three of us that didn't watch them at all.
And one wants them to die.
I said it earlier this week.
You're defending them and acting like you're shocked that I said that they should just be put out to pasture.
I said earlier this week I don't see much value in the ESPYs. YouTube exists. Like, I think the ESPYs make sense in a world where you can't go back and relive great moments on your own.
You know what? I take it back. I did watch a little bit of the ESPYs.
Liar.
It was just the 1998 ESPYs. I went back and I watched the Norm McDonald opening.
Again?
Yeah, I did. I did. And I'd rather watch that than Steph Curry cracking some jokes. So, yeah, I guess I did watch a little bit of the ESPYs, just not the current one. It was 1998. It came to my attention that the Wheelhouse had the ESPYs.
They did.
For, you know, our station, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You were up for best endorsement. For Frankie's Italian Kitchen, which is a great endorsement. I can't wait to win our bet, and then you treat me to a little bit of Frankie's. I'm very much looking forward to that. Apparently, I won an ESPY, Brendan. Is this correct, that I won the ESPY for worst take, which is just all of them? They're so soft, those boys, and here's why. If you're going to say somebody's had a terrible take, specify the take. Like, this is coming from Stoots, who called Carlos Correa's best attribute visiting the mound. So, like, what is my take that's so bad whenever you're running your mouth making bad take after bad take after bad take, and you can point to those bad takes?
Now,
they can never point to my bad takes.
Did they just generalize it as a bit?
Or no, that was something else apparently, right, Brendan? Because I didn't listen to that because I never listened to that
show.
They
did say it was up for
a
bit.
For the bit, too. But they want their own show. Because, you know, of course, the great thing was self-promoters that they are. The first award of the night was best takes on any show, and they gave it to themselves.
Did they at least give a take? Because they put these all-encompassing great takes, bad takes, and never specify what the heck they're talking about.
No, just generalities.
All right, well, there you go.
You know where they really missed is the best bit was Jake and BK's grasp of the English language. You should have been included in that.
Probably, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm ESL. My first language was Spanish, if we're being completely honest. It's quite a minor miracle that I'm doing radio in America.
Is that true, your first language?
It's kind of 50-50. Okay. Like, right. From both sides, depends on which side, right?
It was a hard
I was learning
battle.
Spanish as I was learning English. It was not an easy thing to do, you know? It's very confusing, which, by the way, if you're learning a foreign language, which is debatable in my case that I was, they say that English is the toughest language to learn if you've never learned it. Because it's backwards compared to, like, the rest of the world.
I mean, I look, we both have experiences with speaking Spanish in our households. You try to speak it. I'm out. I can pick up certain phrases or words.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife always bashes her grasp of it, but she's pretty good. And her mom is fantastic, obviously. So, I mean, I hear it all the time, but I think any second language or getting a second language is a challenge. That's why I didn't take it a second language in school. So I credit anybody that can pick up a second language and speak it fluently.
Yeah, it's hard. My Spanish has slipped. I mean, I'm not very I speak Spanish at a very elementary level. Like, I didn't elevate much after the age of 6. I can understand it much better than I can speak it. But Houston, the Astros, they're playing a pair of baseball games today. They're going to be at Minute Maid all day because first pitch of the doubleheader doesn't come until, wink, wink, 3:05. I have one problem, though, with what the Houston Astros are doing with this rotation. And it's not Verlander and Fromber going today. That's something that we talked about the other day. Like, I'm fine going Fromber and Verlander, whatever part of the series against Seattle that they're going to end up pitching. Like, that's fine. Like, I don't care. If Verlander – and basically, Verlander is going to tell me when he wants to pitch, and I'm cool with that. Fromber pitched in the All-Star game. There's no sense of, like, okay, you're going to pitch again on Thursday against the Yankees in this doubleheader. The concern that I have, though, with how the Astros have rolled out their rotation is they play 19 games in 18 days. Like, this is a tough stretch in terms of just the amount of games that you're playing. 19 games in 18 days. You're going to play the Yankees in a little day-night doubleheader today. You're going to immediately fly to Seattle, where a hostile, sold-out T-Mobile Park there in Seattle is waiting for you. They have won
evidently,
14 games
really
in a row. Oh, they're going to be ready to go.
If you saw Twitter last night with Mariners fans, your favorite people, they're gearing up already.
They're going to yell very loud. They're going to tell Altuve he sucks a lot. So they're ready to go. They're going to be ready to just yell and heckle all the time at the Astros. But here's my criticism about the Astros rotation coming out of this break. Love Christian Javier. We saw him do his thing against the Yankees when he punched out, like, it felt like 50. Luis Garcia, very good pitcher. But if you're looking at who's in this six-man rotation for the Houston Astros, which two pitchers on average go the shortest in a game? And I'm fearful that you're playing two games today. You're playing 19 games in 18 days, and you're going with Christian Javier and Luis Garcia, who are capable of going shorter than literally everybody else in your rotation. I would have loved an Urquidy mixed in there because at least you know you can get, it might not always be his quality, but you can get 6, 7, 8 innings out of Jose Urquidy. Would it shock you if Christian Javier, Luis Garcia can only go 5 innings? Now you're counting on your bullpen in 2 games today, 4 innings, and then you got 17 games over the next 17 days.
I don't like it, and I think that it's quirky again in the way they lined up the pitching because we thought Verlander would go Friday night. Now they're talking about Verlander going Saturday night. They're talking about Fromber going Sunday and Urquidy going Friday. And I'm going, okay, I mean, I don't know what the school of thought was there either. But then that's why I said before we got to this stretch and got out of the All-Star break, what's more important? Because the last thing you want to do is screw around with anything with the Yankees. And to your point, they brought up Brandon Belak for one game today because they could add an extra player.
Yeah.
So he's in the bullpen. I don't see Belak being someone that he's going to go to unless it's basically your dire straits and you're getting drubbed. Or you got a really big lead, which I doubt it based on the lineup I saw for game one. It concerns me as well because you can kibosh and put to bed the overzealous Mariner fan this weekend. You can send a message and put a complete exclamation mark on how you played the Yankees this year.
Mm-hmm.
But they're kind of middle of the roading both right now in a way, and it concerns me.
Like, those are, to me, like two separate conversations that I think both are valid. Like, when you throw Verlander, Fromber, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like, you know they're going to pitch one-third of the series. Verlander, Fromber, would you rather the series get off to a great start going, you know, Verlander, Friday, than Fromber, Sunday? Yeah, I think that's a fair point to make.
Mm-hmm.
My concern, though, when you look at it from a today perspective, is when you're playing 19 games in 18 days that starts today, sure. 305, that you're going with Luis Garcia and Christian Javier. Look, we love both of them. We think that they're very good. But also, they are the two pitchers in this six-man starting rotation. You can throw Odorizzi in the mix there, too. That don't pitch you terribly deep into games.
Right.
Four innings, five innings. If every now and then, they'll go six innings in a game.
Odorizzi's been more consistent than the other two in terms of at least getting into the sixth and looking like he had a little bit more left.
And if you need to use Odorizzi in that spot, like, I think he's more capable of doing it, right? Like, he's not a hard thrower like Javier or Luis Garcia. He can go one extra inning to try to save the bullpen. But, like, a terrible outcome today, like, even if the Astros go 2-0, if Luis Garcia and Christian Javier each go five innings, you have your bullpen, which doesn't have Ryan Presley in it either because he's on paternity leave. You have your bullpen trying to eat up four innings in game one, four innings in game two, eight innings for a bullpen right out of the gates because you're going with your low stamina, low endurance guys. And then you have to play 17 games in 17 days after that, after you've depleted the bullpen.
Oh, by the way, Ryan Presley on maternity leave. Congratulations to him and his wife with the baby.
Yeah. Congratulations.
But that's in a lot of ways something that made me think, too, because as much as we say he escaped the mental cobwebs of the Yankees, you'd have liked to have him for the doubleheader.
Yeah, congratulations, though.
It's nice.
Go celebrate.
I'm not trying to be like those guys that were killing McNeil for taking a series off from the Mets. This is the biggest stretch right now of the year. As much as the New York series was, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, coming out of the break, it's another big series that could be something you look back on. But one where, like I said, the reason why I'm so mad about Verlander not pitching Friday night is because I've seen all this on Twitter. But I know that, this is a big thing for a team that's trying to be on the come up, right? So the Mariners are going to fill the entire place. They're going to sell it out. They're talking about all the things they're going to yell and push the boundaries and go after the Astros and all this other stuff. But guess what? If you got Justin Verlander, you can pacify all of that. You can squelch it all. You can put him to bed in the first game of the series and go, well, you're trying to sweep us and trying to send a message and keep your little streak going. But guess what? It's all over now. So now it'd be all downhill. Instead, if they get a little momentum rolling Friday night and they get the best of Urquidy, now a little bit more pressure goes on the Astros, especially if things don't go well today. And then, like you said, if you get behind in those games, you might just have to eat it and just have a pitcher out there for like three, four innings just because you can't afford to get your bullpen in a jam this early in that stretch you're talking about.
Are you okay with the way the Astros are setting up the rotation coming out of the All-Star break, Javier and Garcia going today in the Yankees doubleheader? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Patrick Creighton's on our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He said that you won ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5 SB for the best opening. PC said he was second, and you
were
first.
No, I said he was second. No, he said I was second because I said he was the loudest. They voted him honorable mention for award they didn't have as the loudest.
Oh, really? So yeah. You didn't win the best intro?
I don't know that they had that award. I didn't. If they did, I didn't catch it.
You know, we're going to put together the Razzies, the ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5 Razzies, and every award's going to the Wheelhouse. Cody, BK, Jake, Andrew Carlson. They're going to sweep the ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5 Razzies.
Well, I always say, you know, we play two games on this show, right? We play Who Said It,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're not playing Who Said It.
Well, I can see why Cody doesn't like that game.
Right. But then we also play In Case You Missed It on Wednesdays, right?
That's right.
So basically, if you want to know who said it on the Killer Bees and you want to follow up on in case you missed it on the Killer Bees, all you got to do is listen to the first 2 hours of the Wheelhouse, and basically you get everything that you missed on the Killer Bees.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We're talking about the Astros rotation coming out of the All-Star break and the fact that you're setting it up with Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, Urquidy Friday, Verlander Saturday, then you're looking at Fromber Sunday, so then Jake Odorizzi will get that following Monday start. Astros are just getting started in the midst of 19 games in 18 days. One of the big fears that I have is that you have Christian Javier, who is prone to being knocked out of games early. Mm-hmm. You have Luis Garcia, who's prone to being knocked out of games early. So now you're looking at a spot where a bullpen might have to eat up tons of innings in the first day out of the All-Star break. Two games, one day, and now you put yourself in a bad spot for what is a very, very difficult stretch going forward. So that's my one fear with how they set it up. I would have loved an Urquidy mixed in today.
I hear you. And the other thing that I would pay close attention to is the fact that Javier hasn't had the best of starts in his last two games, right? He hasn't been the same since they went through the no-hitter in New York. And so you have to be deeply concerned about that factoring in as well, that to exactly what you're saying. He hasn't had his best stuff, and you're worried about him being able to stay in a game against the best record in baseball. Mm-hmm. You can hate him, you can say you own him, but when they're not playing the Astros, they're the best team in baseball, and they roll through you with a lineup that is murderer's row with power and the ability to put crooked numbers up in a hurry. So those are all things that I totally feel you and understand the concern, because you know it's not like you're getting a game against the A's, who, by the way, won two or three of you before the break, but you would rather see those scenarios pop up against the A's and the Rangers than knowing that you got, like I said, two very formidable opponents back-to-back, and trying to set up your rotation should have been some kind of a well-thought-out process, especially as it relates to not just the matchups themselves, mm-hmm. but like you say, the longevity of the staff from point A to point Z, so that everybody, you get the most out of everybody in the lineup, I mean everybody on the roster, for as long as you can.
Give me an inning guy today. Give me a stamina guy today. Give me somebody who can pitch me deep into a game. I mean, in the starters.
Oh, starters.
Starters, which to me, it's Urquidy. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, our HRMP listener line. 4622 says, let Dusty do his job. In Dusty, we trusty.
How many of you in Dusty, we trusty?
I don't know how I feel about these texts, because like, what are you supposed to do if you're in sports radio? Just, oh, yeah, let the manager go on and do his thing. You never have a reaction based on what a manager is going to do. Like, it's fascinating to me. Like, you can never critique anything a manager ever does, or a coach, or a GM.
Throw out sports radio. Are you a sports fan?
Exactly.
Do you like talking about sports? Yeah. Are you just, like, not allowed to have opinions if you're not the manager of the team?
What a boring, boring person 4622 is in his group chat, right? Like, oh, yeah, the Astros coming out of the break, Javier, no Yordan today. Lance McCullers about to make a rehab assignment on Friday. And then you have 4622 telling his group chat, just let Dusty do whatever Dusty wants to do. That's so dull.
Like,
just go bang your head against the wall.
I can assure you the one place, and I don't listen to the other stations, and I do obviously periodically listen to other shows, but I can assure you right here in the Hive, that will never be the school of thought for the way that we analyze the Astros and Dusty Baker. Yeah. We will never just let Dusty be Dusty and be okay with it. We just won't.
I go, you know, it's funny. I do go around the dial because I like to keep my ears peeled on like what else is going on.
You do.
You want to know something funny that I heard the other day? People didn't know who Julio Rodriguez was until the Home Run Derby.
Stop it.
I'm dead serious. I'm
on other stations?
This is like a paraphrasing okay. here, because I don't remember the exact quote.
But you know the show and the host?
Yes. Yes.
Will you tell it to me in a break?
Of course.
Okay.
I probably will subtly mention it here in the next couple of minutes.
I like it.
You might have already mentioned half of it. But here, like, the idea was I never knew who Julio Rodriguez was. And now that he's in the Home Run Derby, I will watch him closer and be a little bit more afraid of him whenever the Astros play the Mariners.
Like, seriously.
I'm not making this. I almost texted it to you guys, but I was driving, and you know I don't like doing right. texting and driving.
But you're normally pretty good about keeping us informed. I mean, that's the thing, too.
I was driving home. You might have caught that.
Yeah, I did. I heard that. But I'm saying, even still, you normally do pretty good about letting
us know
anyway.
Didn't know who Julio Rodriguez was.
Who was Jeremy Pena's number one? Even if the year just started, he got off to a hot start. Who has been his number one competition for the entire year for Rookie of the Year, if nothing else?
Julio.
Yeah.
before the season started.
Yeah,
there was
exactly.
three. There was three, right?
Yeah.
Pena might have not even been on the list. Like, at the start of the season, Jeremy Pena maybe was third, fourth, fifth.
Witt Jr.
With the, Bobby Witt Jr., Julio Rodriguez were by far
right.
the two
no
favorites.
Doubt.
By far.
Absolutely.
By far the two favorites in the American League.
So it doesn't matter if you're the flagship of one team or the other. As a sports fan in Houston and as someone that's supposed to know sports, you got to come. You got to know that.
7888.
Come on.
I trust Dusty about as much as I trust my wife. Caleb said that. I don't know how to interpret
that's
that.
Awkward.
I'll be completely honest with you. How is Caleb? What is the message that Caleb is trying to send us? 713-780-ESPN. I trust Dusty about as much as I trust my wife. 713-780-3776. I trust my wife with everything that I have. Like, I would trust her with my life.
I totally agree.
I trust my
wife,
more than
mine.
I trust myself.
Not your wife, mine, but I'm the same way.
You probably trust my wife more than you trust me, and you've never met my wife.
That's exactly right.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's an interesting text there, Caleb. Some people weighing in, too, about the ESPYs. 8998, the ESPYs equal out of touch with reality. Athletes preaching their political views. The ESPYs are now the same as every failing award show needs to die. That's not Brad Kellner, who's not up for a Razzie.
See, here's the thing. That was another kind of a sidebar consensus amongst the Twitter peeps last night, was that they went to too many platforms playing the political card, and it just dragged people down. I mean, all it takes is one person to be on the other side of any one of the different issues that they were going after. And look, and I heard Paul talking about this on the way in, too. I think that in regards to Brittany Griner, the one thing that I've always said is, I don't mind the passion trying to get Brittany Griner home, and I understand it. But don't lose sight of the other people that have been detained in Russia. There's a guy that's been detained in Russia since 2018 on just a complete farce of a charge. And he's been trying to be relevant because of this, to have people kind of re-remember that he's still there, and his family has too. And then his family's been like, hey, it's not just about Brittany Griner. What about our guy too? I just think that it's an overall thing that has to be focused on. But when you bounce from one to the other, to the other, to the other, because then they went to their Arthur Ashe Humanitarian Award was Klitschko, the ex-heavyweight champion that is the mayor of Kiev. Well, now you get on that whole thing. And then you're not even really intersplicing awards in between. But I think that's where people felt a lot of frustration last night as well.
Yeah. I mean, you start talking politics, I lose interest. I don't care if it's left. I don't care if it's right. Like, I like to live in a fantasy land where I only pay attention to sports.
I have a very important update on the texter who said that he trusted Dusty as much as he trusted his wife.
Uh-huh.
He said, correction. It says ex-wife.
Now we get it. I trust Dusty as much as I trust my ex-wife. I think that's a fair point. That's about where I'm at with Dusty Baker, too. Look, he give him his flowers. He's won tons of games. And he won the All-Star game the other day. That was a great job by Dusty. Dusty did a great job leading his team to victory in that contest.
Just leave Dusty to Dusty.
Dusty Ayers. Dusty
Ayers. What did he say? That. What was it?
In Dusty we trusty.
In Dusty we trusty is what you
Dusty
need to remember, Jeremy. That's
713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. All right, the one team that you should be hoping that Juan Soto does not get traded to. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Caleb texting in saying, dang, Jeremy, you're going to get me divorced again. Caleb said his ex-wife, not his current wife, but I guess he still has communication with his ex-wife, Caleb, that is. I'm kidding. Caleb's a great husband. You should bury him forever.
Did you go there?
I was kidding. 4622 said Dusty's greater than Muhammad Ali.
Like the start time of the game today?
305. Dusty's greater than Muhammad Ali. I like that text for some reason. All right, here's the one team that you should be hoping Juan Soto does not get traded to. I would say the Astros have a greater than 1% chance to, like, get him, but not very high. I think they could put together a package, but then, like, how does that hurt you long term? James Click has been on record of saying, like, we're not going to jeopardize the future of our organization for anything short term. Although you could argue Soto's not that short term, right? Because he's still got this year, two other years. But if we're operating under the assumption, which, you know, what assuming can do, but if we're operating with under the assumption that Juan Soto, A, is going to be traded, B, he's not going to be traded to Houston. The one team I do not want Juan Soto traded to are the Seattle Mariners. A lineup of Julio Rodriguez and Juan Soto for at least the next 2.5 seasons, and then I would imagine Seattle would be trying to lock up Juan Soto as well. I don't want to see Juan Soto 20-something times a year with the second-best team in the American League West. That is the one team that would make me a little bit sick if Juan Soto got traded to.
So here's the one pushback I would give you on that. It would depend on what they would have to give up to get him, because they have one of the better farm systems in baseball right now. So if you're just saying, hey, the trade-off is they get Soto, but now you deplete a majority of some of their really good prospects.
Let's say their entire minor league system.
I think I'd be okay with it, because I think they've overspent on Robbie Ray. They overspent on some of the guys they've brought in that I don't, and I'm not impressed or fearful of most of the rest of their lineup, with the exception of France at first base. Mm-hmm. I think that Winker was kind of a check swing. I don't think it was a swing and miss, but I don't think he's been anything like an all-star like when he was in Cincinnati. I look at the rest of their lineup, and I know I'm supposed to be impressed by some of their young talent, but their former number one prospect or number two prospect, the kid in the outfield that still can't do wrong right, mm-hmm. can't figure it out.
Former rookie of the year. Are you talking about Kalinic or whatever his name is?
Kalinic.
They also had that other guy that won a center field, the one rookie of the year, 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah, he's been hurt.
Yeah, and he hadn't been the same dude ever since
then. And I can't even name their names, so therefore they don't impress me that much. But I think that when you've got J-Rod and then you've got Soto, you would have a good start to the middle of your lineup. But if you depleted everything else, especially pitching-wise, I don't know that I'd be that worried about it. I would be more concerned if he went to the Yankees.
Their pitching's all right. Let's get to the Yankees in a second. Like, the pitching for the Mariners has been pretty good. I think they've been pitching above expectation, though, to your point. But if you have a lineup of Julio Rodriguez, Juan Soto, throw in, you know, France in there as well, who's been a good player.
Yeah, all-star.
Like, you can fill out the rest of it around them to where that's a pretty good lineup. If you get some pitching, that's really good. And I just don't want to face that middle of the lineup for the next 7-8 years, 20-something times for the entire season. 713-780-ESPN. Who is the one team that you don't want to see Juan Soto go to? 713-780-3776.
So let me ask you this. So which would bother you more? Him going to the Yankees, where depending on what they do with Judge, you know you're going to have to face Rizzo, and you're going to have to face a lineup with that money can buy every single year. So it's not just going to be those two guys like in Seattle. You're going to probably talk about a murderer's row type lineup that Cashman's going to be able to put together with all the money in the world Steinbrenner puts in his back pocket and says, go get me the best team in baseball year after year. Wouldn't that fear scare you more?
The reason that I'm not, like, I wouldn't care as much about the Yankees, like the one team that I don't want is Seattle.
Schedule?
That's part of it. Okay. You don't have to see them as often. And it's also the New York Yankees. Like, I expect when I wake up every single morning, whenever I woke up as an infant, whenever I was straight out of the womb, I expected the New York Yankees to have superstar after superstar after superstar. It's the New York Yankees. The same way that I now expect the Los Angeles Dodgers to have superstars after superstar after superstar. Those teams are supposed to have the Juan Sotos. Those teams are supposed to have the highest paid players in all of baseball. So I expect whenever I play the Yankees that I'm going to face a bunch of huge names that are very popular, that have all the cachet in the world. The other part of that, they don't have to see them as often. And when I do, it's on the big stage of a playoff series. It's an ALCS. I'm not worried about them in a divisional race, anything like that. For me, it's Seattle. Best case scenario, that he stays in the National League. Twitch is saying that on our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Soto stays in the NL. Book it. That's best case scenario.
Well, the leader in the clubhouse right now is the Mets.
Okay.
In Vegas, Mets is the betting favorite.
That's interesting because it's individual.
I was going to say, that's the thing that really kind of puzzles me is this is the conversation you and I had about Texans doing business with the Colts when Deshaun was still available. I mean, are they just so far gone and realize they're so many years from competing again that at least they're going to be the one team that's able to say, hey, it doesn't matter who we deal with right now because we're not competing for a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. We're going to get the best deal we possibly can, and if it's from the Mets, then so be it.
I like that attitude. You know that, because I was okay trading Deshaun Watson to the Colts if they gave you the best package. Best case scenario, Juan Soto stays in the National League. You mentioned the Yankees. Is there another team that stands out to you where you don't want Juan Soto being traded to, if we're assuming he's traded, and then two, it's not the Astros?
The Dodgers.
Okay, see, that's interesting.
I don't mind him in the National League. It's just that when you think about it, because the division's been such a cakewalk for so many years for this team, right? And we talk about rivals. And the furthest thing from a rival is the Texas Rangers. So you're looking for it. You know, no one in your division is a rival. And so you're trying to figure out, well, who are the opponents and their fan bases that get the most vitriol and get everybody fired up? Well, you know, it just seems like year in, year out, you're talking about the Dodgers, you're talking about the Yankees before you're basically talking about anybody else. So therefore, those are the two teams that you would least like to see Juan Soto go to, because of the fact that those are the teams that are the most relevant to you as it relates to postseason and rivalry and past history.
The reason that I wouldn't mind the Dodgers as much is because if you're facing them with stakes on the line and real significance, you're talking about a World Series. So, like,
true.
I'll take that. Like, if it means Soto's a Dodger and you're facing the Dodgers in the World Series, I'd be totally okay with that.
That's as it relates to the Astros directly, right? But I don't I don't like to see him go there, because whether the Astros face him year in, year out or not, that makes the Dodgers relevant, right? Because Trey Turner's coming up. Mm-hmm. He's a free agent. I would assume they're going to try and throw silly money at him, which they're going to have to do to keep him. So you look at it and go, next to the Yankees, the Dodgers are also the other team that throws money at anybody and has an endless supply of funds to keep going with. If you can say that they don't get Juan Soto and somehow, some way that Turner walks, then maybe, and because, you know, you look at the rest of their lineup, and Justin Turner has been, he just fell off a planet. He's terrible.
It's father time.
Yeah, and you would love to see the Dodgers in decline. If you get Juan Soto, they're not going to be in decline.
That's interesting, like, that you looked at it that way, because I didn't look at it from that perspective, and it's a fascinating perspective to look at it from. Like, okay, as it affects the Astros directly, what does the most damage versus, like, you don't like other teams, Dodgers, Yankees, whoever else you want to mention.
There's satisfaction, I think, in the Astros fan base. Yeah. That would say, I would love to see the Dodgers go back to suck.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting perspective to look at. It's like, okay, let's like, we hate Dodgers. We hate Yankees. Let's drag them through the misery. Who are teams that you would hate Juan Soto to land on if we're assuming, one, he's traded, two, it's not the Astros? Clutch City on our Twitch page, twitch.tv/ESPN975, he says Angels with Soto, Trout, Shohei would be terrifying. Absolutely, it would be terrifying. I don't believe the Angels have anywhere near the means to trade for a Juan Soto. But if he went to the Angels, I feel like Juan Soto would get hurt. Like, that's just the way I feel. I feel like that for some reason, even though they're called the Angels, that organization is just cursed good things.
I totally agree with you. Look, as much as I used to fear the Angels also being a team that could be the best team money can buy, they can't do anything right. I mean, every dollar they send, you know, even with the fact that you threw a 1 year on Syndergaard and it looked right away like they caught a really good one at a really cheap price, he's on the trade market. He hasn't been great of late. And you look at it and go, if that's the best you can try and muster up because you completely crapped the bed on everything else that you've done and continued to do, including trying to get, you know, before Ohtani actually got into the mix, you went out and got Rondon and thought, well, here's the guy I'm going to pair with Trout. And just like you were saying, that middle of the lineup in that division is going to be hell to pay year after year. He can't stay healthy. He hasn't done anything in the American League. Trout can't stay healthy. He's been basically on the IL a ton in the last 2 years. And Ohtani could leave in a year or two. So, yeah, keep going, Angels. If you want to go get another one, go try it.
Yeah, Degenerate Gambler says maybe the Blue Jays. That would be terrifying with Vladimir Guerrero and Juan Soto in the same lineup. And then Twitch says, I hope he goes to the Padres and beats up on the Dodgers and the Giants. Padres, I've seen, want to be in the mix, too.
They are in the mix.
They're very bold. They're not afraid of making the splash. Padres, to me, would be great from an Astros perspective, because now you get a little bit of the best of both worlds, right? He's in the opposite league. You don't have to worry about him unless it's a World Series. Interleague play, who cares? It's the regular season. Yep. But then he can bang on your Dodgers, right?
And you only have to play one of the two come World Series time. They would process of elimination. You're never going to have to go through both of them. So you hope they beat the hell out of each other. Like, you know, we talk about in football or anything else, you'd like to see the path of least resistance to get there, and then worry about the other two having to exhaust themselves to beat and advance the other team, that you could catch them in a better situation. So, yeah, ideally that, you know, whatever happens, he goes to the National League. But I was reading an article in The Athletic this morning that Jim Bowden wrote, the former general manager, and he put the teams most likely to make a deal for Soto, and he had the Blue Jays on there. And I'm like, depending on what they would have to give up, because they're not going to touch Bichette and they're not going to touch Vladdy Jr. But, you know, he said it would be Teoscar Hernandez and or Gurriel, and then, you know, some of their top prospects, and they could make a deal work. I mean, that's not a good situation, because now you add the Blue Jays to a Yankees team that you know is going to be consistently loaded. Now the American League just got tougher for you.
Yeah. The best part of that is, though, that they're in the East. They're not in your division, sure. Right? 713-780-ESPN, 9227. Stop saying Soto. So annoying. Soto, Soto, Soto. Thank you for listening. 713-780-3776. Who are the worst people in sports? It's the Killer Bees on Wheelhouse? ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, let's talk about my good friend Doc Linville. He has been fantastic for me and so many others and so many listeners that have gone to see him since you've heard me and John and Jake and Fred talk about how great he's been for us. If you're losing your hair and you're thinning out or balding and you think your next step is to shave it off, it's not. Go see Doc Linville first and go see him for free. Because as an ESPN listener, you can get a consultation for free with him and his staff that normally costs $150, and you can ask all the questions about the NeoGraft procedure. It's not sprays and creams and foams and all those things that just mask the issue. It's your own hair, and it's basically transplanting it from where you have a ton, like the sides and the back, where genetically you're never going to lose it, to the areas you need it most. Maybe because you need it to make your head a forehead again instead of an eight head. Maybe because you've got a bald spot in the back and you want to clean that up. You can do all those things with the NeoGraft procedure, and it's fantastic. It's all your own hair. So go to 975hair.com and make an appointment. It's free for you. It'd be $150 for anybody else, but as an ESPN listener, you catch the bonus. Ask the questions, from financing options to the process itself to the success rate of 95%+. That's what got me. Check them out today. It made a huge difference in my life. It could definitely do the same thing for you. It's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We're asking the question, where do you not want Juan Soto to go to, assuming that he's traded, assuming it's not to the Astros? 8601 sent us a picture of Joe Buck saying, what's my age again? But he also said, as long as the Astros don't get Soto, I don't care where he goes. He's going to cost so much, and the assets they'll have to give up to get him in the first place that the team gets him is going to be in the same situation as the Angels.
Yeah, okay.
So one of the other, like, baseball to me, like, you need good players, obviously, but it's more about, like, the sum of the parts. It's more about your lower players not being bad.
It's still
not
a team game.
You. Yeah, it's weird because it's like an individual game and a team element, right? But yeah, you can't have holes. The best teams are the ones that don't have holes, not that have all
your supporting cast has a value higher than in most other sports. We talk about in the NBA, the big twos and the big threes are the teams that are going to be the most successful. But you know what? When you look at it from a baseball perspective, your big two or big three can be successful, but if the rest of your supporting cast doesn't, you know, hold water and be able to do what it needs to do, then you're going to sink. And football's the same way. We know that it's still more dominant because the quarterback can control a game and really affect a franchise. But baseball, you've got to have, like you said, you can't have holes. And we've seen what happens even with a team as good as the Astros when, for most of the season, we've been evaluating catcher and first base and third base and the bullpen and all those other things. You have to have everybody on board and performing at least a very, very stable level. And so it's very important. I was looking at, like I said, that list. I don't see he had the Rays on that list. I know they have the prospects to do it. I just don't think that they would want to sign on for a massive contract.
They wouldn't sign the contract.
They would just keep him for 2.5
Maybe
years.
Maybe not even that.
And they then trade him again.
They might use him for the stretch drive and trade him this offseason.
Yeah.
I don't know is the worst. That's not the worst thing in the world.
The Giants were on the list, the Padres, the Blue Jays, the Yankees, the Mets. They had talked about the Indians. I don't see that either. Because
who are they? I don't think they exist.
The Guardians, right? Yeah, the Guardians. That's my bad. I'll put my money in the kangaroo court jar. I don't think Cleveland's the type player that wants to get into the contracts of back in the day when they had, you know, all the big-time guys that were making big-time money that they were that they had to be worried about keeping around, and their payroll was much higher. We saw them year after year with the pitching staff that they had. They traded Clevinger. They traded Kluber. They traded Carrasco.
Yeah.
They got rid of all the guys when they had to pay them.
Well, I think it's those teams that wouldn't pay them.
Lindor.
You're keeping him for the 2.5 years, and he's done. Like, you're just trading for him because you
feel – But then you're blowing up your farm system for the 2.5?
I mean, that's where it becomes a struggle. Now, if it's the Rays model, which I think the Rays would be like, okay, we're going to trade for him. He's going to help us out in the stretch drive. Maybe we even keep him for one more year. But then we're going to also trade him again. Now you're recouping a lot of what you gave up. So it's like, okay, you get a half a year, you get a year and a half of Soto. It's going to cost you a premium, but then you're going to acquire the premium in return whenever you do trade for him, which is actually like the prototypical Tampa Bay move. Like, it makes a ton of sense from that regard. The Guardians, I think, would be more like, okay, let's trade for him. Let's make a run in 2.5 years, and then let's blow it all up again. That's what's fascinating about Soto is like, even if you don't re-sign him to a contract, there's a lot of value for having a Juan Soto for 2.5 years.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to what's your supporting cast look like, right? At what cost, and then what are you going to support him with? Because it means nothing to go get him if the rest of your team can't stay competitive to give you a chance to capitalize on the rental and win. You know, it's like when the Marlins did it; they went so far all in that there was no basically end to their spending. And then as soon as they won the World Series, they just bottomed out everybody. They unloaded the entire ship. Unless you can support him with guys around him that give you a chance to win in that small window, I don't see the logic in going to get him unless you think you're going to really get the return on investment in ticket sales and jersey sales.
Bob Nightingale says the 7 teams that have called for Soto that have been in preliminary discussions with the Washington baseball team about Soto, Mariners. Padres, Giants, Dodgers, Cardinals, Yankees, Mets. So 5 NL teams, 2 American League teams. Where do you want Soto not to go? 713-780-ESPN. Who are the worst people in sports? I saw a video of a guy shoving kids the other day. I think it was at the All-Star game. I think it was for Justin Verlander. He was shoving kids trying to get a baseball signed by Justin Verlander. That obviously is a deal breaker for everybody. I think everybody would say, well, that's no go. You shouldn't be doing that. I don't love adults seeking autographs, period, to be honest with you. Like, you get Justin Verlander's autograph, great. Thumbs up. Good for you. You get Alex Bregman's autograph. Like, outstanding. Like, I feel like autographs for adults, I feel like it's kind of weird.
It's big business, Jeremy.
I feel it's very weird.
And having worked in it on a daily basis, and seeing the levels and the depths that people will go to because it's now become big business, it's borderline scary. Like, to see from teenagers to grown men carrying around briefcases so that they can go in with files and pull out the number that was unstitched off a jersey so they can get the sign. So that, like, they can get Michael Jordan to sign a 2. And the minute he signs the 2, they go get a Bulls jersey and they stitch it onto that jersey and take off the other 2, and suddenly that jersey's worth thousands of dollars. And that's one thing. And then the other thing that chaps my ass even more, and the players have to be on red alert for it, is because everybody's selling, but the older guy who goes up to the kid who is just happy to be at a game and says, hey kid, I'll give you $20 if you go take this ball and get it signed by that guy down there. And at a certain point, the players start to catch on. Because then the guy says, oh, you want to do it for him? You want to do it for him? And suddenly the players are watching. And I've actually had our players tell me, I'm not signing for him. And me going, well, why not? That doesn't make any sense. It's a kid. And he's like, watch where he goes. And then sure enough, he's running back to some dude who's giving him a 20 and trying to get stuff signed. And that's where you go, you know what? I hate that the players charge for autographs. I hate for the fact that they have to police it themselves because it's a bad look for them. But then you start to understand it a little bit when you realize how big of a business autograph stuff is.
Oh, it's big business, but once you're able to drink, once you're the legal age to drink alcohol, you should never ask for a grown man's autograph.
Is this similar to the jersey rules?
I'm all right if somebody wears a jersey. Now, buying a jersey is something I would never do, but I'm not going to tell somebody not to wear a jersey.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, since I've been doing this job, the unwritten rules of that I wasn't aware of. But like, even with Greg, our network side talent, and when we talk pregame about the fact that you shouldn't wear the jersey of a player that you're older than, and then as an adult, at what age do you cut off wearing a jersey? And then when do you stop asking for autographs? And when do you stop bringing your glove to a game? Those are all like unwritten.
That was the other thing too. bet that you don't bring your baseball glove to games once you're of driving age. Like, once you're of driving age, the glove to the ball game ends. Once you're of drinking age, asking a grown man for their autograph, unless it's paperwork, that ends as well.
I was just about to say I think all these rules are stupid, and then I hesitated because of I think it is very weird to take a glove to a game as an adult. Have you not been to enough games to realize the odds that the glove's even going to matter anyways are so incredibly low?
Also, if you catch it with the glove, though, like, to me, you shouldn't get a round of applause. Now, if you catch it bare hand.
Wait a minute.
Standing O.
Even when you put, because, you know, of course, my wife loses her bleeping mind when I go, damn, what a catch when the guy balances the kid and the beer in one arm and still uses the off arm to catch the ball.
Bare hand, great. Glove, no.
It was bare hand. And she's like, are you kidding me? Do you know that child was in danger? I'm like, kid. Maybe got a splash of beer on their leg, but I didn't see any problem with it.
All's well that ends well, man.
I think where the glove is okay to get applause is if someone hits just a hot shot down the line, and obviously with the Nets, it's different now.
Well, you should put on a uniform and go be a ball boy.
You could be saving somebody in this
case. Those ball boys can't make plays these days.
The Tampa Bay guy, you didn't. You see that the other day? Yeah. Went right through his legs.
And then the bullpen just gave him hell.
Yeah.
I said those line drives, you could be saving somebody some serious injury if you snag that.
Now, they have Nets up the line.
Okay, but this is pre-net, though, I saw some pretty devastating.
Absolutely. That's why the Nets are there now.
Pre-net might be a different story.
Pre-net and pre the one that everybody saw a couple years ago at Minute Maid. When Minute Maid first opened, and this was when Juan Gonzalez still had just a massive power stroke, I saw Billy Wagner bring 99. I saw Juan Gonzalez hit it into the stands and hit a kid.
Yeah, that's scary.
And that's like the entire stadium went silent and not a single person was worried about the game anymore.
Yeah.
That's where you go, okay. I mean, first of all, you knew that something had to be done eventually, but that's where the mitt, if someone can snag something like that, albeit more power to him.
8804 said, I bring my glove for self-defense against foul balls. I want to know where you're sitting, 8804. Let us know where you're sitting, because I'm curious where you sit to bring a glove for self-defense against foul balls now with the Nets. Because,
completely
like, maybe
agree.
Club area, maybe? Like, where are you at most danger at Minute Maid Park of being hit by a foul ball?
Not a foul ball, but Crawford boxes would be where you'd have the most likelihood of getting multiple balls in a game.
317 hardliners coming off the bat at 102. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be target area, I guess.
Can I ask you guys for a ruling on another sports guy?
We'll allow it.
The guy who constantly stands up at games, not to like leave, but the guy who stands up at a football game in big moments.
Scenario matters. Context matters.
Completely agree, because you just put the caveat on the end of it.
I don't think there's anybody who stands up the whole game, right?
You go to Kyle Field on a Saturday against Alabama.
Go to Fertitta Center when your co-host is gracious enough to invite you to a game.
Oh, college, definitely.
And have the guy sitting in front of me standing up during free throws and the most minuscule portions of the game in which not just me, but people around me going, what is this guy doing?
I recognize this is a hot take, but I would love to buy a standing like section ticket to when I go to football games.
You stand the whole game?
Stand the whole game.
Almost like the black hole.
Like a student section for like any college team.
Yeah.
Because I feel so guilty standing up in like the debatable moments where it's like kind of big but not massive.
Right.
But I want to. I don't want to be sitting down in those moments.
Context matters a lot here.
Completely.
Like if it's the third inning whenever you're the Kansas City Royals and you're, you know, playing the Texas Rangers and
bases
you know,
loaded 100 two
degrees
outs, full
July
count.
28th. Yeah, maybe. That might be the only time that you would stand up in a Royal Ranger game. Now, if it's Astros-Yankees first pitch 305 today, I would expect everybody to be standing up at Minute Maid Park. 4608 says, I take those foul balls like Happy Gilmore in the cage. 0754. Ryan says, it's like wearing a band shirt to the band that you're there to see.
I don't know. I mean, you're supporting.
What's
wrong with that?
I don't know. I found it funny, though.
I know you chuckled at it, but I was like, I'm thinking about it going, what's wrong with that?
It just feels weird.
I think it's more awkward. And it goes both ways in both sports and concerts to wear a concert t-shirt from a different band and it's not the band you're going to see, or going, especially to football games, going to see the Texans play the Colts and wearing an Eagles jersey. That's just completely out there to me. It's like, why? I don't get that. Then stay home and go to a bar, or go watch the Eagles.
I don't know about that. Like, if you're a fan of a team and you're going to two neutral teams play.
So what, he's trying to throw in both of their faces? Yo, I'm still an Eagles fan. Who cares?
You want to show your allegiance.
You know the other one that annoys me, and I saw it again at the Home Run Derby the other night? It's one thing to say you bring a glove, but now they sell those super-sized gloves that are like 10 size, the normal-sized mitt. Like, first of all, do you think you're going to have the glove control to move that thing rapidly to get to where the ball is? And can you squeeze it? And if you do, how many people are going to look at you going, you feel good, tough guy? Because you just basically knocked six kids out of the way with a glove that looks like it fits the Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah, Twitch says I'm a phone finger guy. Is that cool? It's okay as long as you're not putting it in the view of somebody trying to watch the game. 713-780-ESPN. Who are the worst people in sports? When we return.
Yankee fans.
Houston Texans training camp right around the corner. We continue our top 10 countdown of the most entertaining storylines ahead of the 2022 season. It's the Killer Beasts on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.